Hello, my name is Armando, and welcome to The Plant Nook. What's up, plant fam? Hope everyone's doing well. I know it's been almost 3 months now, I think, since the last episode. I know I said I was going to try and do more bi-weekly episodes, but things are starting to get a little busier. Time has just kind of slipped through my fingers, if you will. I recorded that one episode. I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this next episode for this idea. And then things happened. And I will let you know as we get into the meat of the episode itself. But things have been great. You know, school is really starting to kick off. The nice thing about a master's degree, at least in my field, is that I get all of my classes done in the first year, and then the second year is mostly just research and writing. So right now I'm taking one class. It's a professional development course for grad students here at Colorado State University. And the other credits that I have, another 6 credits, are just all for research and writing. So the bulk of my time for school has been preliminary analysis, I should say, of data, because I do have one more year of data collection, which is happening this summer at 2 different spots. I can talk more about that if that's something you are interested in. And basically writing my thesis, getting that together. I had sort of a basis of my thesis already running, and then I had a conversation with my advisor, and now I am rearranging everything just for the sole purposes of being able to publish. So that's sort of the reason why I changed everything. And it's not going to be a difficult process, I think. It's going to be pretty easy. I just have to split everything up in a different way. So it's just going to be more of re-editing and rearranging the content that I already have and then adding to it in an appropriate manner. So it's not going to be too bad. So today, what I really wanted to talk about was the life and times of a greenhouse supervisor. So if you didn't know, I am the supervisor for a greenhouse of a local florist here called Palmer Flowers. It is a local florist, but it is probably the biggest one, I think, in northern Colorado. We have 4 different locations, and we do a lot of business. It's quite insane. It's not a small little local florist, which, you know, would have been great, honestly. I feel like it would have been a lot less stressful to a degree. But working in the horticulture industry really does sort of open my eyes and ways of thinking. Granted, this type of horticulture is not what I would be researching, but it is not out of the realm for me. There were sort of some topics I was debating about in terms of my PhD, research-wise at least, and I was thinking about doing cut flowers for my research, but I sort of went away from that, only just thinking about what our research is sort of based on. So I think eventually I would like to include cut flowers into the talk in terms of research, because it is a whole industry. And I will say, for a while, I didn't realize the importance of flowers. I thought they were just superfluous things that we bought, needless things. You know, you can grow it yourself, yada, yada. But I will say, in the little over a year now that I've been working at this flower shop, I'm really seeing sort of what cut flowers bring to people. You know, it is a way of showing gratitude, love, sympathy, all of those things for someone else, right? And granted, you know, these flowers do not last a very long time. If done right, if the product is good, it can last anywhere between 2 to 3 weeks. A month if you're really good about changing the water and adding in the flower food. But, you know, it's not an everlasting piece of art. And it really is art. The things that some of the designers come up with in terms of arrangements is insane. We have our head designer the things she can do with tropical arrangements is nothing out of magical. Like, it's ridiculous what she can do. And, like, relatively quickly, too. A lot of creativity. And, you know, after a certain point in the day, your kind of creative juices kind of do whimper out. Luckily, that's when you can take on pre-arranged bouquets or arrangements. Like, there's a recipe for them. You know, you use these kinds of flowers and you put them in a certain way. So, luckily, there's that. But, you know, there's quite a few people out there that let the designers create their own designs. And so I have a friend that works with me, and that's her favorite thing to do is the designer's choice. And she is a creative person. And I've seen her whip out gigantic, gigantic arrangements in like 5 minutes. And it's insane. She is so good. But anyways, as the greenhouse supervisor, I do oversee all of the green plants, growing plants, I should say, for the store itself. So I do handle 4 different stores. Each store can and do order their own things when they need them. But for specific things like dish gardens, or if there's a specific plant someone's looking for, they usually come to me first, and I'll say, yes, I can get that in probably like a week or whatever. But it's a lot of me interacting with the 4 stores and overseeing our stock. And so basically, you know, I love houseplants. And when I moved here, I had to get rid of a lot of my houseplants. And when I moved here, I don't know if you remember, but if you follow me on my Instagram, the Plant Nut Podcast, there was a period of time where I was like, I don't want to take care of any of them. And I think a lot of that was just transitioning from the big move from New York to Colorado, getting my bearings, learning about school, how all of that goes. So it's been, I don't even know how much less plants I have, but like I would be able to fit all of my plants, I think, in the backseat of my car. It's comparative to like the almost 300 plants that I had in New York. It's a big change. And honestly, it was a good change. It was a change that I made for the better. It was needed. It was necessary. The nice thing about working in this greenhouse, I get all of the plant desire, if you will, out of me. There was a period of time when I took over as supervisor. I was like, ooh, I can order whatever plant I want. And so like I ordered some plants for myself and I bought them. And that was great. Loved it. And then as time went on, my desire to have plants at home, at least in mass numbers, I still need plants at home. I need the green at home. But in mass numbers of a collection, if you will, that desire went down, thankfully. Not that I don't mind taking care of plants. I'll take care of plants all day, and I have taken care of plants all day. And I do take care of plants all day now. But I get all of that satisfaction of growing them, making sure that there's no pests, trimming, repotting, all that stuff. I get all of that at work now too. So I sort of get that itch and that desire for plants sort of out of my system. Now, every once in a while, you know, if I can come across a plant that I've always wanted, or like I just want a new plant, the nice thing is I have such easy access to obtaining plants. I'm in contact with a couple of wholesalers here that I regularly do business with. So it's nice that I have those connections, and they're very good to us too. They really do look out for us, which is nice. They'll call me, they'll text me like, hey, I know you wanted this. We don't have any of this, or this doesn't look great. I don't recommend getting it. Do you want something else? I can do this switch. So they're very, very great people. And I've been enjoying working with them for almost a year now as the greenhouse supervisor. But it's been so much fun being able to work as a greenhouse supervisor, I will say. How many times am I going to say greenhouse supervisor on this episode? I think a big part of my role, though, as the supervisor, is also making sure that the staff that I have in the greenhouse, one, that we're staffed well, we're not overstaffed, we're not understaffed, and that the staff is happy, right? That's sort of my first goal. Be an advocate for the staff, make sure that they have all the necessary tools, all the necessary items that they need in order to do their job effectively. And I think one of the best things that I personally have with this group that I currently work with is that they're so interested in education. If you didn't know, my plan is to be a professor. I want to be a horticulture professor at a university. So the fact that my staff is so engaging and wants to learn more is amazing to me. You know, I get to talk about plants. I get to talk about the care of plants, where they came from, why we look at this, why we use this item, why we do, why we, you know, mist the greenhouse. So we don't have misters in the greenhouse. I wish we did, but that's sort of an expensive add-on. So generally speaking, I go through and I mist the plants pretty much every day. And granted, misting doesn't really do anything if you have a small number of plants. Sure, you can mist the plants, but generally speaking, that humidity will leave pretty much instantaneously. You need a constant source of humidity in order to make misting an actually effective means of increasing humidity in your space. And I talk about this topic basically on episode 78, where I look at a more scientific look at humidity. I took a class on plant water soil relations, and that's sort of where I was able to obtain all of the necessary resources to actually come up with that explanation. So definitely check out episode 78 if you want to hear more about humidity and why misting really doesn't do much in terms of raising humidity. However, in a greenhouse where I have, I can't even tell you how many physical plants I have. I mean, I can tell you the different species we have, but I can't tell you the physical number. But let's just say it's a very lush jungle in that greenhouse in the small space that I have. And what that does, it creates microclimates within the areas where the plants are clustered together. Mind you, we're also very good about making sure neem is sprayed and that we're constantly checking all of the plants for insects. So we're doing pretty good on that. We've caught quite a few plants pretty early on before it spread. So we're doing really well on the pest control front. But because of the density of the plants that we have, the microclimates created within those areas help store the humidity within those areas. So in this case, because of the density, yes, the humidity is the using a mister, I should say, for humidity is a good idea. And you notice the difference, and that humidity stays for quite a while. And also in the summer, we do spray the floor, if you will, with just water, just so as that evaporates, it keeps the greenhouse at a relatively even temperature without it getting too hot. And plus the humidity will also help with the evaporation. So yes, we do mist. And that also helps with sort of cleaning off the leaves and getting rid of potential pests, right? So that's one of the things I love about the people that I work with. They're so interested in learning why I, you know, set a few things in motion, why we do things the way that we do, specifically in terms of plant care. I think, you know, a lot of the people had an idea of why we do things and like what it's good for. You know, I just sort of came at it in a more scientific way and tell them, this is the reason on this scientific level as to why we do this for this. You know, we go over fertilizers. What fertilizers are good for what? Is an all-purpose fertilizer good? Which, yes, an all-purpose fertilizer is good. It's just added nutrients. Obviously, if you're looking for a specific outcome, let's say an orchid bloom, you are going to want a higher phosphorus content, of course, but an overall equally numbered fertilizer works just as well. You know, you don't have to go insane. And I even tell them, you know, with soil, why we use this kind of soil, why I add this to this soil and stuff like that. I am working on trying to create our own soil mix in the greenhouse. It's just been hard finding all of the necessary ingredients, if you will, that I personally will choose. So I'm still working on that. But, you know, trying to get them interested in the sciencey part of it to better understand why we do things the way we do. And they're so great about it, honestly. I cannot talk highly enough of the crew that I have working with me in the greenhouse. Love all of them to death. They're so, so great. But I will say, as a supervisor of a greenhouse, it's not all just plant care and plant education. You know, I also have to make sure that I'm ordering the correct number of plants that we need, keeping on top of trends of like what plants people are interested in, and also trends of our shop in-house. You know, what plants are we going through on a weekly basis? Because I do order pretty much weekly. We do go through quite a bit of plants. And also making sure that, like, they're reasonably priced, but still we're, you know, capitalism. Yay. Sarcasm. That, you know, we're not going under because of the prices. But, you know, it's still reasonable enough that people are coming in and buying plants or ordering them. For us, the thing that we're known for the most are dish gardens. And so, I don't remember if I post them ever on my plant Instagram, my podcast Instagram. I do post them once in a while. I do post them once in a while on my personal Instagram, but I don't know if I do post them on my plant podcast Instagram, but we're pretty well known for dish gardens. It's been sort of an established thing since before I got there. And so, you know, a big part of the dish gardens is trying to make sure I have enough of a variety of plants that, you know, we can put things together, make things look good, and make sure that they're of good quality for the dish gardens that we create, and making sure that I have the physical dish gardens. There was a little bit of a time frame where we were getting dish gardens in certain price ranges, and all of the dishes that we would use for that were gone. So luckily, you know, did my due diligence and found more places I can gather these ceramic dish gardens or tins or baskets and make sure that we have a good ample supply in between the large orders that we get in. And I think one of the biggest points for my job is to ensure that the relationships we have between the greenhouse and the wholesalers and the people coming in to purchase our product, that I'm making sure that those connections are always well-maintained. So this can include any of the clients that we have. So there are a few places where we install like planters, plants, and dish gardens, and we take care of them. So making sure that our relationship between those clients are good, making sure the relationship between me and my wholesalers, they're good, and that, you know, I am very clear with what I want, but also very polite with what I want, and, you know, build that trust and relationship. I got to go to one of our wholesalers last year, and that was such a fun time. I got to meet my sales rep in person and really just like get to know them, get to know the area, how they do things. And I think that helps build sort of a closer relationship between your rep and yourself as the supervisor. We're trying to do more of that this year. It's just sort of been difficult because we just got out of Valentine's Day. And mind you, in the greenhouse, it's not too insane in terms of Valentine's Day. You know, we do have Valentine's Day specific plants, you know, like the heart leaf, Hoya carii, like the single leaves. I hate buying those, but you know what? They do sell. Don't know why. But I did find out that some of them did have nodes. So I'm hoping that as if I take care of them for the long term, that they do grow. But we are coming up to Easter and Mother's Day, and that tends to be more greenhouse heavy holidays. Spring cactus, Easter lilies, different plants for mom on Mother's Day, you know, tons and tons of stuff. So I'm prepping for that. So the first half of the year tends to be incredibly busy in large chunks, if that makes sense. Like I said, Valentine's Day, not so much for us, but I do know how to do pretty much everything in the shop. So I was doing front sales. I did phone sales. No, not phone sales, but I did do delivery sales, as in, like, I created, like, an order for, like, a future date, which took me a little while to get, but I learned how to be a sales rep basically that day, on the day before Valentine's Day. Deliveries, looking for deliveries for the dispatch drivers, processing, even designing. I even designed a little bit. And I also do stuff with weddings. I do help the wedding area with installing deliveries and stuff like that. I don't really arrange if they need all hands on deck. I'll offer my hands to put things in. They'll be, all right, put this in here and do that for like these like 15 centerpieces. I'm like, cool. So I'll do that. But that's only if they need that kind of help. But generally speaking, with the weddings, I just help with the installations and stuff like that, which is still a lot of fun. I do really enjoy getting to work with the wedding department. They're great. But focusing mainly on the greenhouse, nothing really too big. It's never too insane. It's a lot of making sure that I just get the right stuff in. I don't have to worry about arranging or anything like that, unless people want dish gardens, and that's a different thing. I do have to come up with dish garden designs for, say, specific holidays, for the turning of the seasons and stuff like that. So there is a lot of creativity that goes on with it. So that's sort of a glimpse into my world as a greenhouse supervisor. It's not a ton of stuff, I would say. I am able to easily balance full-time graduate school and full-time work. But I am going to dip down a little bit on the hours that I work at the shop, only because I do need to focus on school a little bit more, especially this half of the semester, because I'll be going to a ton of different places for conferences. So right now on the list is I go to Austin, Texas, the first week of April. It's a solar panel based conference, but my work does include solar panels, so it only makes sense. And then the next one is an agrivoltaics conference, and that is mostly what I'm doing is agrivoltaics, but that's gonna be in South Korea, so that's gonna be fun. And that's the week after Austin. And then the week after South Korea, I have a barbershop district contest in Cheyenne. So still a little on the local side, but I do still have to go away for the weekend. And I'm so excited. Oh, God. If you didn't know, I'm a barbershop singer and I have a quartet and a chorus. I am taking time out of the chorus right now to focus on school, but still chugging away with my quartet, loving the bits. And then we're still waiting to hear back, but possibly Berlin for the Green Infrastructure Congress. And then potentially Ohio. That one's going to be a little harder for me to get into because they only choose 6 people. So we'll see. I'm hoping I'm one of them. But lots of travel for school. And then some personal travel. I'm going to Iceland again with family in August. I'm excited for that. And then back to Central New York in December for one of my best friend's wedding. So I'm excited for that too. But yeah. Doing a lot, so I apologize for not actually doing a bi-weekly episode. It's just totally bad timing, I guess. And, you know, if there's anything particular you want to hear, so I know that this started off really mostly as a houseplant content, but, like, I'm doing more with horticulture now, not just houseplants, and I will do my best to try and keep things houseplant, as close to houseplant related as possible, but if you want more eyes in the horticulture industry as a whole, I can definitely do episodes like that. You know, feel free to shoot me a DM on Instagram, shoot me an email, all that fun stuff. So in order to do that, follow me on Instagram, The Plant Nook Podcast. You can send me an email, theplantnook@gmail.com. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, tell all your friends about the show, you know, spread the plant love. If you're interested, you can go to anchor.fm/theplantnook to find out other ways to support the show. Do have a merch shop. Check the Instagram bio for that. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope to share more with you next time. Bye, all. The music you heard in this podcast is called Hard Fought Victory from Purple Planet Music. And now, a word from our sponsor.